just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We are already at episode 25 here in season 7, thanks to Hooters, which has ordered 55 episodes of season 7 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, distributed by JoeBucksFan.com. Finishing your week, hopefully getting you as much of a second opinion or resource leading up to your fantasy drafts before the September 9th season opener. Is it September 9th or September 8th? I've been going on that it's the 9th, but it might actually be the 8th. I think it is the 8th. The September 8th season opener between the Bills and the Rams, when you have to have your lineups in if you own Bills or Rams players. And let's face it, considering Josh Allen, Gabriel Davis, Stephon Diggs, Cooper Kupp, Matt Stafford, sure, the elbow should be okay for the season opener, right? They've been nursing it to get to that point. Maybe Allen Robinson, maybe a Rams running back, maybe a Bills running back. Doing my best to get you plenty of opinions and thoughts leading up to your respective fantasy draft in the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. To ask me questions, I will answer your emails at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. One thing on the emails, when you send me an email, when I email back, that's kind of the end of it. If you follow up and say, oh, I forgot, or based on your response, I'm not going to be able to get to that. Now, if it's another unique email the next week, that's fine. But make sure you have all your questions in one email. I'll do my best to address them. And also, as always, give me your opinions. I think it's lame that fantasy players say to someone, yeah, I need two running backs. I have A, B, C, D, E, go. No, that lacks thought. That shows you don't have an opinion. Share with me your opinions. Be a little cerebral about it. I want to know what you're thinking so I can give you the best possible response. Write.todd@yahoo.com. I'm on social media at ToddWright2121 on Twitter and on Instagram. We've talked wide receivers in the previous podcasts. I'm sort of losing track of everything that I've done at this point. But what I want to do for episode 25 today, before I turn the page to the handful of tight ends, and yeah, you're going to hear it again, I have an admission about a mistake I made when I talked about some wide receivers in the last episode. Jalen Waddle is certainly worthy of being a starting wide receiver for you. My bad. Honestly, I didn't watch much of the Dolphins last year because I didn't find them very fantasy relevant. You know, from a Tua standpoint, a wide receiver standpoint, and remember, I'm not big on rookies. I think one game I plugged in one of their running backs and he didn't do anything. This was after 2 weeks where he had touched the ball a lot. And again, Gesicki's just one of those examples of why tight ends should be eliminated from your league as mandatory, because they're essentially touchdown dependent. They can have one decent game and then not show up for a couple of weeks. So Jalen Waddle did enough last year to draw fantasy attention in your drafts this year. And granted, I only ranked the top 20 pass catchers from the previous year on the big board that holds until we start 2022. He was just below 20, literally by a handful of points. Brandon Cooks finished as wide receiver slash tight end 20 in my scoring settings. But Jalen Waddle falls into a category that I've talked about for years. Much like the theme of Moneyball is you want baseball players who get on base. My theme of fantasy football is I want running backs and wide receivers who touch the ball. Every chance they get to touch the ball is an opportunity for me to score points. Targets mean nothing. Touches mean everything. Jalen Waddle touched the ball over 100 times last year. So open apology to Jalen Waddle, to those of you who couldn't believe that I was so dismissive of Jalen Waddle. Yeah, Tyreek Hill there could affect how many times he touches the ball, but they could also complement each other very well. And Tyreek Hill, we know, is a wide receiver one. Maybe Jalen Waddle is a wide receiver two. Seems to be a good route runner. I talked to some Dolphins fans who watched every game. Certainly when you catch that many, it doesn't seem like you're dropping that many. He had over 20 more catches than Ja'Marr Chase. Now, granted, Chase was a big play threat, but considering the Dolphins now have an offensive-minded head coach and how Tua is very accurate on early downs from a clean pocket, yeah, I could see myself owning Jalen Waddle, and I certainly just wanted to get that out there that I continue to always evolve and do my homework, and if I make a mistake, I admit my mistake. Yeah, I can see Jalen Waddle being a wide receiver 2/3 based on what he did last year and some of the things going on in his offense this year. So now that that's out of the way, please drop the mandatory tight end. Will you get into the 21st century? Will you get into 2022? And realize that there's only a handful of tight ends who every week you can roll out and actually be productive. And you and the other owners, you know, who don't own Travis Kelce or maybe Mark Andrews or a healthy George Kittle. I don't want to answer your pathetic tight end questions about no names who are touchdown dependent, who may or may not even touch the ball in a game. And if you make your mandatory tight end spot, and you instead make it a wide receiver tight end flex, not a running back wide receiver tight end flex, but just a wide receiver tight end flex, you will have a better league. You will save yourself a lot of the wasted time on touchdown dependent, no-name tight ends who may or may not do anything. Now, in my opinion, and many others, there are six worthy tight ends that, as we start the season, look like you could roll them out every week. Now, Mark Andrews was the most productive tight end in fantasy football last year. He was the top guy for Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, who wants to throw that sort of short or mid-range pass, loved throwing it to Mark Andrews last year. But I would imagine most of you still want Travis Kelce more. He wasn't tight end one last year, but he was tight end two, and he finished 25 points behind Mark Andrews. There is no Tyreek Hill. You could look at the Tyreek Hill subtraction a couple of ways. Defenses now can worry more about Travis Kelce because Tyreek Hill isn't out there. So that's a bad thing for Travis Kelce. But he and Mahomes have such a good thing. I mean, just look at how they move the ball down the field at the end of that playoff game against the Bills, just kind of drawing shit up in the dirt. It wasn't Eric Bieniemy making those play calls. It was just Mahomes and Kelce like, yeah, let's just get down the field. They're not adjusting, so let's just do this. So Kelce still, to me, is the first wide receiver you would want. And then I'm sorry, tight end you would want. And then Mark Andrews falls in line behind that. Then you get to George Kittle, who was injured a significant amount of last year. But he's still in that top three tight end conversation, especially because other than Deebo Samuel, there really isn't any other established wide receiver on the San Francisco 49ers. So as the Niners are going to throw the ball, Kittle is a huge part of that, and we've seen what he can do in the past. Then you get to Kyle Pitts, the rare Florida Gator player of the last decade who actually is one of the top players at his position in the NFL. And Pitts had a very good year. He didn't score many touchdowns. The touchdowns went to Patterson. They didn't go to Pitts. Arthur Smith, to me, seems like a very an offensive coordinator masquerading as a head coach. I think the Falcons will use as many as three or four quarterbacks this year because Mariota will get hurt. Not sure what the durability of Ritter will be. But they have another tight end that they can use, which and formations which split out Kyle Pitts, right? And what is a sign of a tight end who's productive is they use him basically as a wide receiver, and Pitts will do more of that. So Falcons are a bad team, but they were a bad team last year. And granted, Matt Ryan was a better quarterback than what they currently have on the roster. But yeah, Kyle Pitts is one of the top handful of tight ends. And then you get to Darren Waller, who has even admitted, you know, the organization last year didn't really, you know, have much of a plan for him in the red zone, which is unthinkable. Josh McDaniels does no offense. I don't like Josh McDaniels as a head coach, but we knew this day was going to come where he'd get another opportunity after his disaster in Denver. So when the Raiders get close to the end zone, they have, you know, Carr's not going to run it. So you would think Davante Adams is the number one guy. Then you have Waller, Renfro, and they could still hand the ball to Josh Jacobs. Although that all the pounding that he has taken and playing hurt for the first few years here of his career seems to be shortening his career rapidly. But Waller would still be one of the top six tight ends. And the other one is Dalton Schultz of the Dallas Cowboys, who Dallas used the franchise tag to keep him. Dalton Schultz is someone Dak Prescott uses very much, counts on when Prescott cannot get the ball further down the field. Schultz runs a lot of shorter routes, kind of like Andrews does for Lamar Jackson. Schultz takes a pounding, good pair of hands. You don't worry about anything weird with Dalton Schultz, and the Cowboys have less pass catchers in the equation this year than they did last year when Schultz had a breakout season. So to me, those are the six. Those are the top six, and you can put them in any order you want. I think you put Kelce one. And then I would say Andrews too. Although if I knew Kittle was going to be healthy, then yeah, I might make the argument for Kittle at two. You want to see Pitt scoring more touchdowns, but I just don't think Atlanta's going to score a lot. So there's a concern there. I'm not going to bring up any other tight ends in this conversation because to me, they are too touchdown dependent and too inconsistent. They may have a game every 3 weeks or 4 weeks, but this is why I don't use mandatory tight ends, is because they're just not enough of them to go around for fantasy leagues of even 8, 10, 12 teams. And then you get into injuries and bye weeks, and it's just a mess. So please do not play mandatory tight ends as a starter in your leagues. Get with it. I've been telling you to do this for the 7 years of the podcast. Switch to a wide receiver tight end flex that holds the value of Kelce and Andrews and Pitts and Kittle and Waller and Schultz. It holds their value that you're not eliminating them from the fantasy landscape. You're just evaluating them against other wide receivers. And those six are worthy of being in a starting lineup. Beyond that, I don't see anyone that is. And someone emailed me recently and said he brings up every year to his commissioner, let's get rid of the tight end and go to the wide receiver tight end flex. The commissioner says, I'd rather get rid of the kicker. Again, the data doesn't support that. There are more productive kickers in the NFL based on pure points. And that's with me only awarding 3 points for every field goal, not four for 40 to 49 and five for 50 and longer. There are more kickers that are fantasy relevant to go around than there are tight ends. I think from week to week, you could find a kicker much more easily to get you by than a tight end if you needed both. So the argument against getting rid of kickers instead of getting rid of the mandatory tight end is supported by nothing. Absolutely nothing. So to the gentleman who emailed me saying that's what his commissioner says, throw that shit at him and tell him the data doesn't support his argument. There are plenty of kickers out there, more than tight ends. Granted, the top handful of kickers, I get that. But kickers produce more points. There are more kickers producing fantasy-relevant points on a weekly basis than tight ends. And also, I'm not going to answer your tight end questions. If you email me and ask, I need a tight end for this week, and you throw out three lame names that are on the waiver wire that I don't care about because they're basically irrelevant to the NFL, I'm going to respond to you and say, your league should have switched to a wide receiver tight end flex, as I've been telling my podcast listeners for 7 years. And then you wouldn't be asking me this question. That's my answer. And if you're saying, well, that's no help. No, I'm being proactive. So you don't have to waste your time or mine. Got it? Excellent. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Good luck with your drafts. When I come back next week, I will have drafts to recap from the Foundation and the Federation to judge what went on there, and then we'll be getting you set for week one action with Bills and Rams on Thursday night, and then the full slate on Sunday. And remember, only one Monday night game this year on week one. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters, with shout outs to Bill Curry Ford as well for writing $1,000 checks for multiple winners of my podcast leagues in recent years, including this year. Thanks for listening. Good luck this weekend.